There's so many things right now that are for our time, that want to take our time, activities and social media and things like that, but we have to look at our calendar and see what's important.
Welcome to Connections with Rich and Bobby. Hi, I'm Rich, Rich Homeris.
And I'm Bobby, Bobby Hamlin. Our guest today is Kim Rogers, an amazing woman of faith. She's a graduate of Fuller Theological Seminary, currently leading a large community Bible study for women, and she's actively involved in many, many areas of ministry as she takes us along on her life's journey.
Kim, you're a mother, a wife, you do homeschooling, you are a Bible teacher, you've graduated from Fuller Theological Seminary, you've just come back from a trip to Thailand and Cambodia. You've been involved in a lot. Now, what do you say to somebody that comes up to you and says, I don't have any time to serve God when you're so involved?
I think that when God's called you to something, he sort of gives you the space to do it. I think it comes down to prioritizing your time. Even when I was working full-time, I was an assistant to a CEO at a software company back before I went to Fuller, and I still found time that on the weekends I would serve in a local ministry, in the worship band, or serving the homeless in the little homeless store that they had, or whatever. I think that it's about prioritizing our time. And there's so many things right now that are for our time, that want to take our time, activities and social media and things like that. But we have to look at our calendar and see what's important. And God wanted me to homeschool, and so that became what I did in my time. And that does take a lot of time, but I do have time to sit and prepare a message to teach or to learn about causes that are important to me. It just might mean less TV or less time napping or whatever. I don't know. I feel like I have enough time for everything, and sometimes it gets crazy, but when God calls you to it, you have the time for it. I would say if someone says, I don't have time to serve God, I would have them ask God what they could do and then challenge them to make the time to do it.
Yes. Now, let's go back a little further and where this whole thing started for you. When did you get to know the Lord? Were you a child, a little older in your life, and how did that happen?
I actually grew up in a Christian home with parents that met at a place called the Port of Call. My dad was in the Navy and my mom was a hostess in the Port of Call. And they met, and so I grew up going to church here locally with parents that prayed for us every night. And so I had a knowledge of Christ my whole life. I would say that I didn't have my own personal understanding and relationship with Jesus until I was about 21.
Because that's different, isn't it?
Yes. And I had moved home from college. And when I went to college, like many stories, I kind of did my own thing. And I found it to be very, it wasn't sustainable. The life that I was living down there, it didn't fill me up. And I had lost joy that I had had, and I knew God was telling me to go back home. And I did, and I missed all my friends and, you know, trying to figure out my life. And then I started going to a church where my parents weren't at, just kind of finding faith on my own, and started making friends there. And I remember coming home one night at like 2 a.m. I was 21, and I woke up my parents crying, and I said, I'm happy. I'm so happy. And I had really found Jesus again. And I remember part of it was because somebody said, if you died, would you go to heaven? And that's so cliche, but I remember thinking, gosh, I grew up in the church, but I haven't been following Jesus at all. And I really want to make sure that he knows me and I know him. And so that someday when I die, I know where I'm going. And it made me kind of put on the brakes and really look at my life and then give it 100%. To Jesus. And that's really where my journey into ministry began.
And were you surprised by that difference when he reached you in a personal way and it became a personal relationship as opposed to when you had just believed in him and gone through the motions of going to church and so on? Like, was there a big difference?
You know, I would say there was a difference because there was a fullness. There was a fullness to it. And with this new relationship was a new understanding of the Holy Spirit and that He's in me and active and God's grace, all these things that I had learned growing up through Sunday school, all of a sudden as an adult, as they applied to me, they made all the difference in the world to me. And so it made me fall in love with Jesus more and love His word more. And then it made me want to serve Him and do something with my life that was pleasing to Him. So yeah, I would say it affected me as an adult. It gave me more purpose.
You know, you mentioned that you had a new perspective on God's word. Wasn't that thrilling to know that His word is truth? And as you feed off God's word, He's speaking to you, Kim?
You know, it's so cool because I remember specifically asking God for a hunger for His word. I asked Him, please make me hungry for Your word, that I can't get enough of it. And He answered my prayer. Like, all I wanted to do was read the Bible. And I asked for my graduation gift. I wanted this giant inductive study Bible that had these big margins, and it taught you how to pull apart the whole chapter with color coding and everything, and that you would name the chapter when you were done. And I would just devour these books and write pictures in the margins and all these things to study it and understand it, because it's alive and it's living, and it would apply to me in my circumstances. And it was just, yeah, it was incredible.
Isn't that thrilling how Kim describes what Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 6? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Yes. And we'll return to our talk with Kim Rogers in a moment. If you're enjoying this feature and would like to listen to it again, or to hear a feature you've missed, just go to our Connections with Rich and Bobby Facebook page. Or you can also contact us by email at connect2richandbobby. That's connect2richandbobby, B-O-B-B-I, at gmail.com.
Or write to us at Connections, P.O. Box 1610, that's 1610, Alameda, California, 94501.
Now let's return to our visit with Kim Rogers as she shares about this meaningful transformation that occurred in her life when Jesus entered in. Did others notice a difference?
Now, you know, when the Lord changes your life and you're just really in love and thrilled by His word, how did it affect your friends around you and your family? Did they see a change in Kim, and some were really joyful and others kind of repelled?
Yeah, I would say the friends that I left back at college that stayed in the lifestyle that I left weren't as into the changes that I was making. My parents, obviously, who had been praying for me, were so happy for me to be kind of coming back and loving the Lord. And then the friends that God brought around me at that time, we were all so like-minded that we were all loving the Lord and loving His word, that like this little small Bible study started up in one friend's parents' living room. And then next thing you know, we were all leading like this Gen X ministry in a warehouse in Oakland.
Wow.
You know, like, some of the most exciting years of my life were doing this ministry in this warehouse in Oakland, where people would come and we would do worship and He would teach, and there was homeless ministry, and we all were just so in love with God, in love with the word, and then we just wanted to help people.
Yeah, that's what I wondered, is when it changed for you from, you know, you can become very comfortable in that wonderful fullness and happiness that you can't even describe and just stay in the word. But then at some point, we're told that we're supposed to be out in the world and we're supposed to be sharing the good news. Do you remember when you really felt a call on your life, or if that was something that just happened?
I would say during this time where there were a bunch of us in our early 20s leading this ministry, almost like a church, in this warehouse in Oakland. And I was on the leadership team. One day, the head teacher asked me if I would teach. I still have the yellow legal notepad where I wrote all my notes on how I was going to teach on Job. And I remember getting up and teaching on Job and just feeling so fantastic. And I've always been good with public speaking. I've always been good with, I could go to a Rotary Club or something and talk, and it's always come very naturally to me with school presentations. But something happened in that that began a shift for me. And I kept serving in this ministry, and I was actually going to college to be a news broadcaster. And I was working at Channel 7 at the time. I had interned there for about 9 months and was going to be a news broadcaster. And right around the time where I was doing this ministry, giving so much of my heart and time, I started to feel this call that I was supposed to go to seminary and that I was going to be in full-time ministry. And so there was definitely this swing where all of a sudden I was like, okay, I'm going to finish this degree, but I think there might be something more for me to do. And so I graduated in 2003, and then in 2006, as I prayed about it, I knew that I was supposed to go to Fuller Seminary, and so that's what I did.
And how was that for you to advance and be called and to, you know, take it to the next level, to really get into the ancient languages and to get into theology?
I will tell you that my time at Fuller were some of my most favorite years of my life. Here's the funny thing. My parents loved it but weren't sure because I was a woman. My mom was like, you're going to go and you're never going to get married, because I was already 26 and not married. And so she was worried, I'm going to go and get this education and not find a husband. And my dad said, you only need these four books, the Gospels. You know, you don't need to go study all that. And I remember saying, Dad, if we only needed these, we wouldn't need all this. And I want to know all this. And so going there, I remember my first church history class started off with worship. One of my favorite professors, John Thompson, just made everything so alive. You're surrounded by believers, and you're learning the patristic theology of the early church fathers. You're learning apologetics. You're learning preaching from amazing professors and teaching. And you could take psych classes. You could understand family systems therapy. It was just like this amazing feast of knowledge. And I did get to learn Greek and Hebrew and understand how it all works. It's funny, I can look back at papers from that time and there'll be a whole paper full of Greek that I had to translate. I can't do it now, but I'm like, I have that. I got an A. You could actually translate it. And
so it was not Greek to you?
It was not at the time. So it was incredible, and I learned such valuable things about how to teach the Bible, particularly context, looking at the context of the culture and the customs and what's being said before your text and after your text, so you can teach the Bible responsibly and not just teach something because it teaches good and it gets people all excited, to teach something because that's actually what God was saying to them, and then applying what it could mean for us. That was some of my favorite. The teaching classes and putting together messages and homilies and stuff was really fun.
We've been visiting with Kim Rogers as she shares some of her experiences while she was attending Fuller Theological Seminary and her quest to seek out her calling to serve the Lord.
Yes, just a beautiful example of following God's leading. But we haven't finished. We'll be continuing our talk with Kim Rogers on our next program. She has so much to say. If you'd like to find out more about Kim Rogers and her ministry, just go to walkworthy.today.
Now, if you've enjoyed this program, we'd love to connect with you. Join us on Facebook at Connections with Rich and Bobby. Also, if you'd like to share your comments, you may email us at connect2richandbobby. That's connect2richandbobby@gmail.com.
Or you can write to us at Connections, P.O. Box 1610, Alameda, California, 94501.
This is Connections, connecting with one another, as Romans 1, verse 12 says, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So, thank you for listening, and remember, tell others and spread the word.
And don't forget to join us next time on Connections with Rich and Bobby.